You are listening to IP Management Voice, your podcast about the world of IP and IP management. We talk about the smartest minds in the knowledge economy so that you can learn from them. If you want to know more, you can subscribe to our newsletter and research the latest topics on our content platform, Dplex, with the world's most important experts on IP and IP management. The content featured in today's episode on patenting sustainable technologies comes from Ali Hankaya.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to another deep dive with us. Today, we're tackling something pretty crucial, at least if you're interested in, well, the future of the planet. We're talking green tech and how it's protected.
Yeah. You know, all those innovations that are supposed to save us from, environmental disaster.
Exactly. And we've got a great source to guide us, an interview with Dr. Ali Hankaya, an expert in both sustainable innovation and intellectual property, which you can find on the IP Business Academy blog.
Right. He's an electromechanical engineer, so he really knows his stuff. And not just the theory. He's got tons of experience helping businesses and universities navigate, well, the whole world of IP, especially when it comes to these eco-friendly technologies.
Okay, so we've got our expert, but before we go any further, let's make sure we're all on the same page. When we say green technologies, what exactly are we talking about?
Well, luckily, Dr. Kaya gives a pretty clear definition, and it's one that anyone can grasp. He essentially says green technologies are all those clever inventions that are designed to lessen our impact on the environment.
So like solar panels, electric cars, all those energy efficient appliances we keep hearing about.
Exactly. He uses those familiar examples to drive home the point that green tech is about finding creative ways to live and work more sustainably.
I like that, finding creative ways. But good intentions alone don't always lead to, you know, real change. How do we make sure these innovations have the support they need to actually make a difference?
That's where intellectual property comes in. And specifically patents. Dr. Kaya talks about them being crucial for attracting investment, especially in a field like green tech, where development can be super expensive and take a lot of time.
Makes sense. If you're pouring all your resources into creating something groundbreaking, you'd want some guarantee that someone else won't just swoop in and, well, steal your thunder, right?
Exactly. Patents offer that legal protection. They essentially say, hey, this is mine, and if you want to use it, you got to play by my rules. That kind of security is what makes investors more comfortable backing these ventures.
So patents are kind of like the unsung heroes of the green tech revolution.
I like that. They're definitely a driving force. And when these green technologies are successful, that leads to more jobs in the sector and faster progress towards, well, a future where we're not destroying the planet.
Sounds good to me. Now, I've heard rumors about these expedited patent programs specifically for green tech. Is that a real thing?
You heard right. Dr. Kaya confirms that some countries' DO have these fast-track programs for eco-friendly inventions. It's like they're saying, hey, we need these solutions ASAP, so let's speed up the process.
Okay, so it's not just a myth, but I'm guessing there are some hoops to jump through.
Of course. Dr. Kaya cautions that each country has its own set of rules and regulations, and they can change, so you have to be really careful. You have to be able to prove that your technology actually has some real environmental benefits. It's not a free pass, but it's an option to consider.
Right. So it's not like you can just slap a green label on anything and get a fast-track patent. But if you DO qualify, it sounds like it could give you a huge advantage in a field that's moving as quickly as green tech.
Absolutely. And Dr. Kaya has seen this firsthand, working on tons of different projects over the years. He's helped people patent everything from energy efficient engines to smart grids.
Wow. So he's seen the whole spectrum of green tech.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious, we've been talking about how patents protect the technology itself. What about the business models? Like, can you patent an innovative way of doing things, even if the technology itself isn't brand new?
That's a great question, and Dr. Kaya actually addresses this directly. He says patents and business models are like two peas in a pod.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What exactly does he mean by that?
Well, he's basically saying that sometimes the biggest green innovations aren't about a specific gadget or device. They're about rethinking how we do things, how we use resources. Mm. And those new approaches, those new models often deserve protection too.
Can you give me an example? I always need a concrete example to really grasp these concepts.
Sure. Imagine a company that develops a system where people with solar panels can share their extra energy with neighbors who don't have them. they could patent not just the hardware involved, but the whole energy sharing concept itself.
Ah, I get it. It's like a double layer of protection for the technology and the way it's used. It prevents competitors from just copying the whole idea, not just the physical stuff.
Exactly. And that's crucial because these innovative business models can be just as important as the tech itself in driving change.
Okay, so we've covered the basics of green tech and how patents fit into the picture.
Yeah.
Now I'm ready to get into the specifics. What are some real-world examples of how patents have helped these eco-friendly inventions take off?
Let's dive in. I think a great place to start is with the rise of electric vehicles. They've gone from a niche idea to, well, something you see on the roads every day.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly they've become mainstream. What role did patents play in making that happen?
A big one. They helped make those cars more affordable, believe it or not. It goes back to those early patents on things like batteries and electric motors.
So even though those early patents might have expired, they laid the groundwork for everything that came after.
Precisely. It's like they created the building blocks, and then as those patents expired, other companies could enter the market and build on those innovations without, you know, infringing on those initial patents. That led to more competition, which in turn pushed prices down.
So even though those early patents were about protecting those initial inventions, they ultimately benefited the entire industry.
That's a great point. And it's not just about the core technology either. Patents have also been used to protect all those cool features and designs that make driving an electric car such a great experience.
Okay, like what? Give me an example.
Think about things like regenerative braking systems, you know, those systems that capture energy when you brake and send it back to the battery. Those have been patented, which encourage companies to invest in developing them. Or how about those smart charging systems that make sure your car is only charging when electricity is cheapest? Those are patented too.
Wow, it's amazing how patents can touch on every aspect of a green technology, from the big picture stuff to those little details that make a big difference.
Exactly. And that brings us to another really important example, the solar energy industry. Patents have been absolutely essential for making solar power a viable alternative to fossil fuels.
Okay, I'm all ears. How did patents help make solar power, well, a reality for so many people?
A lot of the early patents focused on making solar panels more efficient, you know, so they could convert more sunlight into electricity. These patents led to new materials and manufacturing techniques that made a huge difference.
So those early patents were crucial for making solar panels both more efficient and more cost effective.
You got it. And as those patents expired, like we saw with electric vehicles, it spurred a whole wave of new innovation. Companies could build on those initial breakthroughs, and that led to even better solar cells, like those thin film solar cells that are so flexible and versatile.
Yeah, I've seen those. They're popping up everywhere these days, from rooftops to backpacks.
Exactly. And patents have also protected innovations related to how we install solar panels, making the whole process faster and easier.
Okay, like what kind of things are we talking about?
Think about those racking systems that hold the panels securely on your roof, or those smart inverters that convert the electricity from the panels into a form that you can actually use in your home. All those things have been patented, and that encouraged companies to invest in making them better.
It's like every little detail of a solar energy system has been carefully thought out and improved upon, thanks in part to patent protection.
And let's not forget about the creative business models that have emerged around solar. Companies have even patented things like solar leasing programs, which make it easier for people to go solar without a huge upfront investment.
Right, those programs have been a game changer. They've made solar accessible to so many people who wouldn't have been able to afford it otherwise.
Exactly. And all of these examples show how patents have touched every part of the solar industry, from the technology itself to the way it's marketed and made available to people. It's a powerful example of how intellectual property can drive a green revolution.
Okay, I'm totally convinced that patents are a key ingredient for a sustainable future. But what about the materials themselves? You know, everything we use comes from somewhere, and that somewhere often has an environmental cost.
That's such an important point. A lot of the materials we use every day, from the clothes we wear to the buildings we live in, rely on finite resources and can have a huge environmental impact. Dr. Kaya highlights this as a major challenge, making the stuff itself more sustainable.
Right. Like, I try to be eco-conscious, but it can feel overwhelming trying to figure out the true impact of everything I buy.
It definitely is complex, but the good news is that there are a lot of brilliant minds working on developing more sustainable materials, and you guessed it, patents are protecting those innovations too.
Okay, tell me about these new materials. What kind of cool stuff is being developed?
Well, one area that's really taking off is bioplastics. Have you heard about those?
Yeah, vaguely. But are they actually a viable alternative to those traditional plastics? Can they really do all the same things?
They have incredible potential. But as with any new technology, there are hurdles to overcome, like making sure they're truly biodegradable and figuring out how to produce them on a large scale. And that's where patents come in. They're protecting the innovations that are addressing those challenges, making bioplastics stronger, more durable, and easier to produce.
So we're talking about literally creating plastic from nature. It blows my mind.
It is pretty amazing. And patents are also protecting innovations in other sustainable materials, like recycled materials and those bio-based building materials.
Wait, hold on. Bio-based building materials. What in the world are those?
Think about building materials made from things like bamboo, hemp, or even straw. They have a much lower carbon footprint compared to those traditional materials like concrete and steel, which require tons of energy to produce.
So we're talking about building a greener world, literally from the ground up.
Exactly. And those patents are making sure those materials are structurally sound, fire resistant, and can withstand the elements. It's all about making sure those materials meet the same standards as the traditional ones, so builders feel confident using them.
Okay, this is incredible. We're basically witnessing a transformation of how we make the things we use every day.
Right. And patents are a driving force behind all of this. They're encouraging those innovators to keep pushing the boundaries and creating a more eco-conscious way of life.
So it's not just about gadgets and gizmos, it's about rethinking everything, right down to the basic building blocks of our world.
You got it. It's a holistic approach to sustainability, and intellectual property is a crucial part of the equation.
Okay, I'm convinced. But before we dive into more specific examples, I'm really curious to hear Dr. Kaya's take on what lies ahead. He's been at the forefront of all of this, so what does he see as the biggest challenges and opportunities for the future of green tech and IP?
Well, one of the biggest challenges he highlights is keeping up with the pace of change. Technology is evolving rapidly, and so are those environmental regulations, so it's a constant balancing act.
Right, it's not enough to just get a patent and call it a day. You have to be prepared for the landscape to shift beneath your feet.
Exactly. And another challenge is that the patent system itself can be really complicated to navigate, especially for, inventors who are more focused on the science than the legal side of things.
It sounds like you need a law degree on top of your engineering degree to really make it work.
It's definitely not easy. That's why Dr. Kaya stresses the importance of getting expert help, finding someone who understands both the technology and the legal complexities.
It sounds like he's a real champion for those green tech innovators out there, helping them protect their ideas and make a real difference.
He absolutely is. And despite those challenges, he's incredibly optimistic about the future. He sees a growing awareness around the world of the urgency of climate change, which is driving more investment in green tech research and development.
That's good to hear. So we're at a tipping point where sustainability isn't just a nice to have, it's a necessity.
Exactly. And Dr. Kaya believes that intellectual property, specifically patents, will be a crucial part of turning that awareness into action.
His optimism is contagious. It sounds like we're on the brink of a truly transformative era for green tech.
I think so too. And as we head towards that future where sustainability is no longer an option but a necessity, intellectual property will be right there on the front lines.
Okay, so we've established that patents are essential, but there's a whole ethical dimension to this as well, right? I mean, how do we ensure that these green technologies, which are so important for the planet, are actually accessible to everyone who needs them?
That's a crucial question. Dr. Kaya doesn't shy away from this at all. He says one of the biggest ethical challenges is striking that balance between encouraging innovation and ensuring access.
Right, because patents give those inventors those exclusive rights, which is important for encouraging them to create these solutions in the first place. But we also don't want those essential technologies to be priced out of reach for those who need them most.
Exactly. If a life-saving green technology is patented in a way that makes it unaffordable, that raises serious ethical concerns. So how do we incentivize those inventors while also making sure those solutions are available to everyone?
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
What are some of the ideas being floated around to tackle this dilemma?
Well, there are a lot of different approaches being considered. Some people are advocating for things like patent pools, where patent holders basically agree to share their rights, making it easier for others to use the technology. Others suggest compulsory licensing, which would allow governments to authorize the use of a patented invention without the patent holder's consent, kind of like in emergency situations.
So there's no easy answer, But it's clear that this is a conversation we need to be having. We need to find ways to ensure that these green technologies benefit everyone, not just a select few.
Exactly. And it's a conversation that's gaining momentum as the urgency of the climate crisis becomes more apparent.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. It's clear that this intersection of green tech, intellectual property, and ethics is complex. But I'm ready to dive into some more concrete examples of how patents have shaped the green tech landscape.
Let's do it. Are you ready for a deep dive into the world of renewable energy?
Absolutely. I'm all ears.
One of the most fascinating stories is the evolution of wind turbine technology.
Okay, wind turbines. Those majestic giants you see dotting the landscape. They've become a symbol of clean energy, but I'm guessing there's a lot more to them than meets the eye.
You're absolutely right. Modern wind turbines are incredibly sophisticated pieces of technology, and patents have played a key role in protecting those innovations and pushing the industry forward.
So what kind of innovations are we talking about here? Take me back to the early days of wind power.
Well, some of those early patents focused on improving the basic design of wind turbines, making them better at capturing the wind's energy. Things like the shape and angle of those blades, or the gears that connect the blades to the generator, even the control systems that adjust the turbine to maximize energy capture.
So those early patents were all about optimizing the basic mechanics of how a wind turbine actually works.
Exactly. They were about making sure those turbines could effectively harness the power of the wind. And as those patents expired, it opened the door for a whole new wave of innovation. Companies started experimenting with lighter, stronger materials for the blades. They developed more sophisticated control systems to respond to changing wind conditions. And they even patented designs for offshore wind turbines that could take advantage of those stronger and more consistent winds out at sea.
Okay, so it's not just about bigger turbines, it's about smarter turbines.
Precisely. And patents have been essential for protecting those innovations and giving companies the confidence to invest in that research and development.
It's amazing to think that those early patents, while protecting those initial inventors, actually created a foundation for an entire industry to flourish.
It's a great example of how patents can drive both individual progress and collective good.
Now, what about those massive offshore wind farms that are popping up all over the world? Are there any special considerations when it comes to patenting technologies designed for that, you know, harsh ocean environment?
That's a great question. Offshore wind turbines face unique challenges like corrosion from the salt water and those extreme weather conditions. And patents have protected those innovations that address those specific challenges.
Okay, so give me some examples. What kind of things are we talking about?
Well, there are patents on special coatings that protect those turbines from corrosion, designs for those foundations that anchor the turbines to the seabed and can withstand the force of waves and currents, even systems that use artificial intelligence to predict weather patterns and make sure those turbines are operating safely and efficiently.
Wow, it's amazing how patents can encourage those innovations that are tailored to specific environments and challenges.
Absolutely. And beyond the technology itself, there are also interesting patent issues that come up around the location and operation of those offshore wind farms.
What do you mean?
Well, think about it. You need to survey and map out those potential wind farm locations, figure out how to install those massive turbines in the seabed, and even monitor the impact those farms might have on marine life. And there are patents related to all of that.
It's like a whole ecosystem of patents has emerged around offshore wind energy.
Exactly. And those patents are helping to ensure that as we transition to a cleaner energy future, we're doing it responsibly and minimizing our impact on the environment.
Okay, this is all fascinating, but what about the cost? How do those economics of wind energy compare to traditional fossil fuels? Have patents played a role in making wind power more affordable?
That's a great question, and one that Dr. Kaya addresses directly. He points out that patents have actually played a significant role in bringing down the cost of wind energy.
Really? How so?
Well, as we've seen, patents encourage all those ongoing improvements in wind turbine technology, which make those turbines more efficient and durable, ultimately lowering the cost of generating electricity. And they've also protected innovative manufacturing processes, which make it cheaper to produce the components themselves.
So it's this combination of better technology and more efficient manufacturing, all driven by patent protection, that's made wind energy more competitive.
Exactly. And this has been crucial for the growth of the wind energy industry. As those costs have come down, more investors and utilities have gotten on board, leading to a rapid expansion of wind farms around the world.
It's pretty amazing to think that these seemingly abstract legal tools, patents, have had such a tangible impact on the transition to cleaner energy.
They really have. And it's not just about the technology itself. It's about fostering this whole ecosystem of innovation, investment, and deployment that's necessary to make renewable energy a mainstream reality.
Okay. This has been such an illuminating look into the world of wind energy and intellectual property. I feel like I have a whole new appreciation for the complexity of this field.
It's definitely an area where science, engineering, and legal strategy all come together to create a more sustainable future.
Now, before we move on to another area, I'd love to hear more about smart grids. They're all about using digital technology to, well, make our energy system smarter, right?
Exactly. They're all about using digital technology to manage the flow of electricity more efficiently, reliably, and most importantly, sustainably.
Okay, paint me a picture. What makes a grid smart? What are we actually talking about here?
Imagine a power grid that can seamlessly integrate renewable energy sources, automatically adjusting to changes in supply and demand. A grid that can talk to individual appliances, helping us use energy more wisely, and even allowing us to sell excess energy back to the grid.
It sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie. But how far off is this from becoming reality?
It's closer than you think. And those patents are playing a key role in making those smart grids a reality.
Okay, so what kinds of technologies are we talking about here? What are those inventors actually patenting?
Well, everything from those advanced sensors that collect real-time data on energy use to those sophisticated software algorithms that analyze that data and optimize the grid's performance. There are patents on the communication protocols that allow all those different parts of the grid to talk to each other, and on the control systems that automatically adjust the flow of electricity based on real-time conditions.
Wow, it sounds incredibly complex, like taking that traditional power grid and giving it a digital brain.
Exactly. And those patents are protecting all that intellectual property that makes this transformation possible.
This is all super cool, but how does it translate to benefits for everyday people?
Well, for one thing, smart grids can make our energy systems a lot more reliable. Imagine a grid that can automatically detect and respond to outages and disruptions, preventing those blackouts and keeping the lights on even when things go wrong.
That's a huge plus. No one likes dealing with power outages.
Exactly. And another big benefit is that smart grids make it easier to incorporate more renewable energy sources, like solar and wind power, which can be a bit, well, unpredictable.
Right. The sun doesn't always shine and the wind doesn't always blow. So how do smart grids handle that?
They use those sophisticated forecasting tools to anticipate changes in those renewable energy sources, and then they can automatically adjust the flow of electricity from other sources to compensate. It's all about making sure there's a steady and reliable supply of power, even when the sun isn't shining or the wind isn't blowing.
So smart grids aren't just about making the existing system better. They're about creating a system that's ready for a future where we rely more heavily on renewables.
Exactly. And they can also empower us, the consumers, to play a more active role in managing our energy use.
Okay, how so? I'm intrigued.
Imagine your refrigerator talking to the grid, adjusting its energy consumption based on the price of electricity or the availability of renewable energy. Or picture being able to program your electric car to charge when rates are lowest, saving you money and reducing strain on the grid. These are just a couple of examples of how smart grids can make us all smarter energy users.
Okay, now it's starting to feel like we're living the future.
It's exciting stuff, and it's happening right now, thanks in part to those patents that are protecting these innovations and encouraging companies to develop and implement these technologies.
This has been a really eye-opening look into the world of smart grids. It seems like they have the potential to revolutionize how we generate, distribute, and even consume energy.
They really do. And it's a testament to human ingenuity, you know, that we can use technology to create a more sustainable future.
I'm totally with you there. But before we move on, I wanted to touch on something Dr. Kaya brought up in his interview. This idea that smart grids require international collaboration. It's not something one country can solve on its own right.
Absolutely. Climate change is a global challenge, and so is the transition to a clean energy future. Smart grids often cross borders, so we need countries working together, sharing those ideas and technologies.
Right. It's not like electricity stops flowing at a national border. So how can we encourage that kind of cooperation?
Well, intellectual property can play a big role. There are things like patent sharing agreements where countries or companies agree to share their technologies, making it easier for those innovations to spread.
Ah, so it's about recognizing that we're all in this together and sharing those solutions can benefit everyone.
Exactly. And there are organizations like the International Electrotechnical Commission working to develop global standards for these smart grid technologies, which can help ensure that systems in different countries can actually work together.
It's amazing to think that something as technical as patent law can actually facilitate that kind of global cooperation on such an important issue.
It really highlights how interconnected our world is and how we need to work together to create a more sustainable future.
Okay, well, this has been an incredible deep dive into the world of smart grids. I'm definitely feeling more optimistic about the future of energy, but I'm ready to explore another area. What about this idea of carbon capture and storage? It always sounded a bit like science fiction to me, honestly.
It does sound a bit futuristic, right? Like something out of a movie. But it's a technology that's getting more attention as we try to figure out how to reduce those greenhouse gas emissions. And you won't be surprised to hear that patents are playing a key role here, too.
Okay, I'm officially intrigued. So how does carbon capture actually work? And where do patents fit into the equation?
There are a few different approaches, but the basic idea is to grab those carbon dioxide emissions from places like power plants before they're released into the atmosphere. Then you can transport that captured CO2 and store it underground, usually in places like old oil and gas reservoirs.
So it's like giving those fossil fuel emissions a permanent timeout.
That's a great way to put it. And those patents are protecting the technologies that make this whole process possible.
Okay, so what kind of technologies are we talking about here?
Well, there are patents on different methods for capturing that CO2 in the first place. Things like using special solvents to absorb it from the flue gases, or even developing membranes that filter out the CO2 selectively. And then there are patents on the design and operation of those storage sites, making sure that captured CO2 stays put and doesn't leak back into the atmosphere.
It sounds like a pretty complex undertaking involving a lot of engineering and chemistry.
Oh, it definitely is. And those patents are encouraging researchers and companies to invest in developing and refining those technologies, which is crucial because, well, carbon capture hasn't always been the cheapest option.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Isn't it really expensive to capture and store all that CO2?
It has been a challenge, but Dr. Kaya points out that innovation, spurred on by patent protection, is helping to bring those costs down.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. There are patents on new materials and designs for CO2 capture systems that make those systems more efficient and use less energy, which saves money. And there are also patents on better ways to transport and store that CO2, making the whole process more economically viable.
So just like we've seen with those other green technologies, innovation is making things more affordable and accessible.
Exactly. And that's critical if we want carbon capture and storage to become a more mainstream solution for reducing those emissions.
Okay, I have to admit, I'm still a little wary of this whole idea of burying CO2 underground. It sounds a bit risky.
It's a valid concern, and researchers take those risks seriously, but patents are actually helping to address those risks too.
How so?
Well, there are patents on all those monitoring and detection systems that can identify leaks quickly so you can take action before those leaks become a problem. And there are patents on methods for sealing and fixing those leaks if they do occur, minimizing any environmental impact.
So patents aren't just about protecting the technology itself. They're about making sure it's used safely and responsibly.
Exactly. It's about creating a whole system of innovation that addresses the technical challenges and those potential risks.
This has been such a fascinating look into the world of carbon capture. It really shows how human ingenuity is tackling this climate challenge.
It really does. It's a great example of how intellectual property can be a powerful tool for creating a more sustainable future.
Okay, I'm ready for our final deep dive. What about this idea of a circular economy? I know it's a buzzword these days, but I'm not always sure what it actually means in practice.
It's definitely a hot topic. It's about moving away from that traditional take, make, dispose model and creating a system where resources are used more efficiently, waste is minimized, and products are designed to last longer and be easily recycled.
Okay, so it's about closing the loop and making sure those resources stay in use for as long as possible. But how does intellectual property fit into all of this?
Intellectual property, particularly patents, can encourage all those innovations that are necessary to make that circular economy a reality.
Okay, help me visualize this. Give me some concrete examples of how patents are driving progress towards a circular economy.
Sure. Think about product design. In a circular economy, products need to be designed for durability, repairability, and recyclability, and patents can protect those innovative designs. For example, there are patents on modular designs that make it easier to repair or upgrade a product, extending its lifespan. And there are patents on materials that are easier to recycle or biodegrade, reducing the amount of waste that ends up in landfills.
So it's not just about making things. It's about rethinking how we design and manufacture those things from the very beginning.
Exactly. It's about shifting our mindset and creating a system where products are designed with their end of life in mind.
What about recycling? That can be a pretty complex process, especially when products are made from all sorts of different materials.
You're absolutely right, but there are a lot of innovative recycling technologies emerging, and patents are protecting those too. There are patents on new ways to separate and sort different types of materials, making it easier to recycle them. And there are patents on those chemical processes that break down those complex materials into their basic building blocks so they can be reused to make new products.
So we're literally talking about closing the loop, capturing those valuable materials, and using them again and again instead of throwing them away.
Exactly. And it's not just about the technology itself. Patents can also protect innovative business models that support a circular economy.
Okay, like what? Give me an example.
Sure. Think about those companies that offer product as a service models. Instead of selling you a product outright, they lease it to you and retain ownership. That means they have a vested interest in making sure that product lasts a long time and can be easily repaired because they're the ones responsible for maintaining it. And those innovative business models can be protected by patents, too.
It's like aligning economic incentives with sustainability goals, which is brilliant.
Exactly. And patents can play a key role in encouraging that kind of creative thinking.
This whole conversation about a circular economy has been really eye-opening. It's clear that it's not just about technology. It's about rethinking our entire relationship with the things we consume.
Absolutely. It's a fundamental shift in how we design, manufacture, use, and dispose of products. And it's an incredibly exciting area where innovation is happening at a rapid pace.
Okay, before we move on, I wanted to touch on one more thing Dr. Kaya brought up, this idea of consumer awareness and activism. He seems to think consumers have a big role to play in driving demand for these sustainable products.
Well, he absolutely does. He emphasizes that the success of these green technologies, patents or no patents, depends on people actually embracing them and making choices that support sustainability.
I've definitely noticed a shift in consumer behavior in recent years. People are paying more attention to the environmental impact of their choices, and they're looking for products that align with their values.
Exactly. And that growing awareness is being fueled by all sorts of things. More media coverage of climate change, the rise of social media activism, and all those organizations pushing for sustainability.
It's like people are waking up and realizing they actually have the power to change things through the choices they make every day.
Precisely. And we're seeing all kinds of consumer activism. Some people are boycotting products from those companies with bad environmental records, while others are going out of their way to support businesses that prioritize sustainability.
Yeah, I've seen that too. People are willing to pay more for products that are ethically sourced and produced in a way that's good for the planet.
It's a powerful trend, and companies are taking notice. They're developing more sustainable products, adopting greener practices, and investing in those green technologies because they know that's what consumers want.
It's a win-win. Consumers get those products that align with their values, and businesses get to, well, stay in business. It's a beautiful cycle.
It really is. And it highlights how consumer awareness and activism are shaping the market and pushing us towards a more sustainable way of life. It's not just about governments and big corporations making those changes. It's about all of us making those conscious choices.
Okay, so we've talked about patents, we've talked about consumer power, but what about international cooperation? Dr. Kaya emphasized the importance of countries working together, especially when it comes to things like smart grids, which often cross borders.
Right. Electricity doesn't stop at a national border. So how do we get countries to share those technologies and work together to build a more sustainable future?
I'm all ears. What did Dr. Kaya have to say about this?
Well, he highlighted the importance of those cross-licensing agreements we talked about earlier, where countries or companies agree to share those patented technologies.
Right. So instead of those patents being barriers to collaboration, they can actually be used to facilitate the sharing of those green technologies.
Exactly. And those agreements can be especially important for developing countries that may not have the resources to, you know, invent all those technologies from scratch. It helps level the playing field and allows them to adopt those solutions more quickly.
It sounds like it benefits everyone involved. Those developing countries get access to those cutting-edge technologies, and the companies that develop those technologies get to expand their reach and impact.
You got it. And there are organizations like WIPO, the World Intellectual Property Organization, that are working to help developing countries build up their own intellectual property systems and use those systems to drive green tech innovation.
So it's not just about those developed countries calling the shots. It's about empowering every nation to be a part of the solution.
Exactly. It's a global challenge that requires a global response.
Okay, I have to say, this whole conversation has really expanded my understanding of intellectual property. It's not just about protecting individual inventions. It's about creating this global framework for collaboration and innovation, especially when it comes to sustainability.
That's a great point. It's about finding that balance between protecting those individual rights and promoting the collective good.
It's about realizing that we're all connected. And the choices we make, the technologies we develop, they all have an impact on the planet as a whole.
Exactly. And as we move towards a future where sustainability is no longer optional but essential, that global collaboration will be more important than ever.
Well, this has been an incredible journey. We've covered so much ground, from the basics of patents to the complexities of international cooperation, and I'm feeling really inspired.
Me too. It's been great exploring all of this with you.
And to our listeners, we hope you've enjoyed this deep dive as much as we have. It's a complex topic, but it's one that's crucial for understanding the challenges and opportunities that lie ahead as we strive to create a more sustainable future.
And remember, the future is not something that just happens to us. It's something we create together through our actions, our choices, and our unwavering commitment to a healthier planet.
Thanks for joining us.
It really is amazing how those individual choices can add up and create, you know, a ripple effect. But I'm curious to hear more about what Dr. Kaya had to say about international collaboration, especially when it comes to protecting those green technologies. You know, climate change is a global issue, so it seems like finding solutions would require countries to, well, work together, right?
Absolutely. Carbon emissions don't just stop at a border. What did Dr. Kaya suggest for getting countries on the same page when it comes to green tech?
He highlighted the importance of those cross-licensing agreements we've been talking about, where companies or even entire countries agree to share their patented technologies with each other.
Right. So those patents, instead of being roadblocks to collaboration, can actually be used to encourage sharing and make sure those green technologies are, well, more widely available.
Exactly. And those agreements can be especially important for developing countries that might not have the resources to develop all those technologies on their own. It gives them a chance to, you know, leapfrog ahead and implement those solutions faster.
That makes a lot of sense. It benefits everyone involved. Those developing countries get access to those cutting-edge technologies, and the companies that develop those technologies get to, well, see their innovations have a wider impact.
Precisely. And there are organizations like WIPO, the World Intellectual Property Organization, that are actively working to support those developing countries. They help them build up their own intellectual property system so they can, you know, protect their own innovations and use those systems to encourage even more green tech development.
So it's not just about those developed countries, you know, dictating the terms. It's about creating a more level playing field and empowering all those nations to be a part of the solution.
That's the goal. Climate change is a global challenge, and it requires, well, a global response.
This is really making me appreciate the complexity of intellectual property. It's not just about, you know, protecting those individual inventions, but also about fostering this whole ecosystem of collaboration and knowledge sharing, especially when it comes to tackling something as big as climate change.
You've hit the nail on the head. It's about finding that sweet spot, that balance between protecting individual rights and ensuring that those innovations ultimately benefit everyone, the planet as a whole.
It's about recognizing that we're all interconnected. And the choices we make today, those innovations we develop, they all have consequences for the future. It's about taking responsibility and working together to create a world that's, well, sustainable for generations to come.
Beautifully said. And that's the message Dr. Kaya leaves us with. Intellectual property, especially in the context of green tech, is about finding that balance, that sweet spot between individual rights and collective well-being.
It's about realizing that we're all in this together.
Exactly. And that's really the message we want to leave our listeners with today.
Yeah, this has been an incredible deep dive. We've explored so many facets of green tech and IP. And I, for one, am feeling hopeful.
Me too. It's easy to get discouraged when we hear about all those environmental challenges, but it's important to remember that there are incredibly talented people all over the world working on solutions, and intellectual property is a crucial part of that equation.
It's been so great unpacking all of this with you. I feel like I have a much deeper understanding of how intellectual property, especially patents, can be this powerful tool for creating a greener, more sustainable world.
I've enjoyed it too. Hopefully our listeners are feeling just as inspired.
We certainly hope so. And to everyone listening, we encourage you to, you know, keep learning about this amazing world of green tech and the crucial role that intellectual property plays in shaping our future.
The future isn't predetermined. It's something we create collectively through those choices we make, the actions we take, and our commitment to building a world where both people and the planet can thrive.
Beautifully said. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to IP Management Voice. If there's any topic you'd like us to cover in this podcast or on the content platform Dplex, please get in contact and let us know.